Hey everyone, it's a brand new episode of the Call to Arms podcast, and this is extremely special. We're extremely happy to say this. This is the first time we're going to be saying it. It won't be the last, but finally, it's official. We can announce it. Folks, the Call to Arms podcast is being recorded at the Gatorade studio. Shout out to our friends from Gatorade for coming on and supporting the People's Podcast. We're going to be doing a lot of really, really cool stuff with them. But from here on forward, this this office that we do the podcast from will now, henceforth, officially be known as the Gatorade Studio. So I welcome you from the Gatorade Studio. And again, watch out for all the exciting stuff we'll be doing with them here on the pod, and we'll be giving away as well to everybody because of the podcast. Speaking of giving away, our first prize package is still up for grabs. Make sure you're following us on social media, and all you have to do is take a screenshot of you listening to the podcast and tag at Call to Arms Pod on Instagram, and make sure you're following us and you're subscribed on YouTube as well for your entry to be valid. Every time you do that, it's one entry. If you tag a friend in that story, that counts as an extra entry, and you stand to win a Call to Arms hoodie, a backpack, some all-star merch, all good stuff. So go ahead and do that. We'll announce the winner very, very soon. We've got Cousteau on the pod today, and we're going to be talking what the sneaker scene looks like so far in 2021, what we've loved and what we have to look forward to. If you guys are big on sneakers, you're really, really going to enjoy this. As usual, the Call to Arms podcast is produced and made possible by the amigo Toby from HR, original art by Alan Martin. Original theme music is Tropical Vikings by Careless Music Manila. Shout out to King Wow and Brett Jackson. My name is Nico Ramos, and recording from the Gatorade Studio, this is the Call to Arms podcast.
Something going on around the island. Money flowing wherever I've been promised. Just another Viking in the tropics. Taking over, trying to stop this novice. Make a killing, I'm finna conquer. I'm a dreamer, the floor is lava. Something going on around the island.
Back on the pod, ladies and gentlemen, our first guest ever is back on the podcast. My good friend, Mr. Jock Slade Cousteau, is in the house. What's up, Uncle Jay?
Yo. What's going on, man? How you doing, bro?
I'm all right. Right off the bat, I hope that all things are well over where you are, and I just want to say the first ever episode that we've done with you and the, at that time, the fiance, now the wife, is still the one episode that we get the most messages about. And we appreciate you taking time to be with us again.
Well, thank you for having me. It's my honor to be, first of all, to be your first guest. Thank you for having me on, and I'm glad to be back, man. It's good to see you. Good to see your face. Because of everything that's going on, I don't get to see you as much as I did before. Like, you're not coming out here, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's tough. I'm not coming out there. So it's all bad right now, but you know, it'll get better. It'll get better.
Had things been normal, we would have seen each other at least two times by now.
At least two times.
The number of months that have gone by. But we make do. Okay, this is a 2021 in sneakers episode, I guess, so far. I know people, you know, if you're an alien and you land on Earth and you see this podcast, you might go, wait, what? Second week of February, and they're already talking about 2021 sneakers. It's a fast paced world that that we live around in sneakers. So I just wanted to start off right off the bat. What's been your favorite release so far? Your favorite story so far? What's impressed you of the kicks that have dropped so far 2021?
So there's a couple that's been super interesting to me. I really like the Adidas Pharrell UNMD, that cream one that came out with the black, like, fuzzy lettering on top. I thought that was really cool because it was like a quilted upper as opposed to like the normal like fly knit. So that quilted upper looked really cool. Adidas also
did. Is this the one they delivered in Robots? They had Robots.
Yeah, they didn't deliver it to me, Joe Rolla. That was only for like Pusha T. Like, that went to Pusha T. lowly regular folk like me just got it in a box. Actually, two things from Adidas. Adidas did a collab with Arizona Iced Tea, I think it was last year, maybe the year before, but they followed it up this year with the Superstar. And it's really clean. It's super simple, really clean, not too flashy. It's like kind of like patches, and like the leather's really nice. So those are really dope. On the Jordan side, let me see. Actually, the Jumpman 21, the Jordan Jumpman 2021, is actually a pretty solid shoe. I randomly bought it just to, it was like, I'm going to do an unboxing on this and just to kind of see. So the Jumpman 2021 is actually pretty, is a pretty solid shoe. There's this like Jordan 35 that came out too, that's pretty cool. I don't know who did it. Some it's like a sneaker store in the Philippines. Like that one came out. That's cool. That one's cool. That one was cool. The Go Flyies, like that's just crazy.
So we talked about the Go Flyies on the last episode that we did. Every now and then we do this episode called The 10, where me and, you know, the amigo Toby, we just rack up a list of five things each, right? And mm-hmm. he had the Go Flyies on his list of things that are just interesting to us. I haven't seen it. I mean, not in person, haven't put it on. What was the experience like? Is it as intuitive as it appears? I think the goal for anything Flyies is for there to be as little of a learning curve as possible. With putting it on, taking it off. What was it like, your first impression?
My first impression was like, oh, wow, this is really easy. This is simple. And then you start thinking like, oh, man, I can see so many people using this, not just like those that that don't have like the sort of manual dexterity that's required to tie your shoes, but like anyone, like a pregnant woman, little kids, an athlete after a workout and they're tired and they just want to throw something on that's comfortable. Like they slide into those. Like there's tons of, I think, use cases for it. I think it was bigger than Nike expected it to be. I don't think they knew that it was going to blow the way that it did. And it's just something that just, it's very simple. You slide your foot in and just press down and that's it. It kind of locks around your foot. It's almost like it's the Nike Mag without all of like the technical stuff into it. Cause like, you know, in the movie, when he put it on, it like wrapped around his foot and tightened and everything. Just think of that, but without all like the mechanical stuff. And like, that's what the experience is like. You put it on your foot and like, it's done. Like that's it. It's done. Like you don't really have to do anything.
What caught my eye is how you're supposed to remove it, which is I feel like the most, I don't know if this is a personal thing, but is the most intuitive thing for me, because I'm like, that's what I do. As I saw it, I'm like, that's exactly what I do. I know that there are sneakerheads out there who are going to be upset at me for it, but I absolutely use the heel of my left foot to step on my right foot and then yank my foot out and then vice versa. And when I saw it, I was like, I'm so upset I didn't think of this, because it seems like it's such an obvious idea and the mechanism of it doesn't seem like it's overtly complex, but I guess that's the beauty of it. That's the achievement of it, right? Is that it's something so simple, they were able to pull it off. I'm still upset. I feel like there was some patent money there that I left on the table had I pursued this.
Yeah, it's incredibly, incredibly simple. I think you're right. Like that's how I think everybody takes their shoes off, unless you're like a sneakerhead purist and you don't want to mess up your shoes. Like, I think everybody takes their shoes off by stepping on the back of them for the most part. Even when you untie your shoes and you're taking them off, like, and you're being precious about it, you still kind of put your foot back there to take them off, even when you untie them. I'm not even talking about just being reckless and like not untying your shoes and taking them off. Even when you untie them, you still kind of put your foot back there to take them off. And what they did, which is really cool, is they reinforced it right there in the back with like this extra rubber there. So like mm-hmm. they knew like that's going to eventually wear down, and people are like, oh, like you're going to tear up your shoes. Actually, no, you're not. Like they thought about that. And it's so obvious, the design, like they have that big rubber band on the outside. Like literally it's so, everything that makes the shoe work is right there and obvious in your face. They didn't try to hide anything. I think if they would have tried to hide it, it would have made it more complicated. So they just kind of left everything out in the open so it could be as simple as possible. I think it's a brilliant move.
And also the aesthetic of having that rubber counter at the back. I think a few years ago, that would have been so jarring. But now with the Sakais, now with what we've seen with like a Cold Wall with their collab with Nike before having those big counters in the back, it actually now is a little bit much more consistent with the hype collab sneakers that we see. So it's really impressive. I like it. I'm go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, and even like the running shoes, like both you and I run, like the Vaporfly has that like huge heel on it as well. Right. Like the Zoom Vaporfly and all those, they have that huge heel on them as well. So it's like, it's right in line with like the design language of today.
All right. So those are sneakers that we know, you know, are out, they're out in the market, and hopefully people have had at least, you know, a decent shot at getting them. Of the shoes that we know we're gonna get and that are about to come out, what's made your list so far? What's made you put it on your calendar and wake up a little earlier for this one and try it on Saturday?
Something that the North Carolina 4 that's supposed to be coming out, like the UNC colorway, I was looking through my collection. I don't really have any UNC branded sneakers. I think I have like I have a UNC Converse. I can't think of the name of it. I have like an old school, like Converse basketball shoe that's in UNC colors that they did for Jordan, but I don't have any like actual like retros outside, like Jordan retros that are UNC colors. For some reason I've managed to avoid those. So that's probably the main one that's on my list, just because like that's something that I feel like I need to add to the collection.
Something that made a lot of news the last couple of days, yesterday here for us, was as we're recording this, was what Trophy Room did. Obviously, we've seen the Trophy Room ones everywhere, and there was a little bit of buzz of what the story might be. I think the first time we saw it, we were like, "Oh, well, yeah, they made Chicago ones with." What's that frosting?
Yeah,
on
like
it.
Some frosted glitter on them with something. Yeah.
And we're like, all right, cool, man. I mean, you know, your Trophy Room, you guys can get your hands on whatever color you want. And then they roll out the story. It's actually the freeze out. And I can't believe it. I genuinely, honestly can't believe it. We've gotten to, what is it now, decades since MJ's release. There's a new colorway of a Jordan retro coming out almost every week. And I'm like, whoa, wait, there's a story like that that hasn't been touched yet? This is our first freeze-out colorway? This is, I mean, I thought personally it was an incredible reach back into the vault of stories. Yeah. It wasn't a stretch at all. This feels like a significant part of the Jordan story. They kind of alluded to it a little bit with The Last Dance, but it kind of stands now almost completely on its own. And the way that they rolled it out, I feel, is one of the best jobs anyone's done in terms of storytelling a Jordan product in a long time. I was wondering what you thought about it.
Yeah, when I finally heard the story behind it, I was like, it was one of those things where it was like, oh, okay, I get it now. I get it now. Because at first it was like, oh, it's cool. But like the glossy, glittery stuff on top, I was like, I don't know if that's necessarily like kind of my vibe. But that's the beauty of sneakers. It's the storytelling. Like a lot of these sneakers can look crazy or wild to somebody and like, oh, it's just a black and red Jordan 4. Like, why does that matter? But you're like, yo, like these are the ones he wore this and he did this in these Jordan 4s. And like, that's why it matters to me. But they're like, why do you have more than one pair? And it's like, well, cause like, if I mess up this one, then I have another one. Like I think people start to understand that the more they get into sneakers. And with this one, I think that same thing kind of happened to me. I was like, I have Chicago ones. Okay, cool. But I don't know if I need these. But then you hear the story and you're like, oh, like that's something you can tell somebody. Like that's when somebody is going to ask you like, yo, why are your shoes like have that stuff on them? You're like, oh, okay. Well, in the first All-Star game.
Sit down. Yeah. Let me tell you about this.
Sit down. Let Unc give you
I'm
a
glad
story.
You asked. I'm glad you asked. It gets us every time, and this is something I'm not even ashamed of, right? Because, and I tell people this all the time, man, wear the sneakers you want and buy the sneakers you want. Yep. Hopefully if it's a pair of sneakers that's maybe tough to get access to, then, you know, I wish you the best. Fingers crossed. Hopefully you get a chance to get it. But if there's something that's sitting on a rack, if there's something that's at the outlet store, or, you know, something that maybe a lot of people are sleeping on, but if you like it, then by all means, go for it, right? Get it, spend your hard-earned money on it, and then rock it, right? I mean, that's you. You do you. And then when people ask me, well, what do you like? Do you just only like things because they're a certain color or material and stuff like that? I make no bones about it. I'm like, yo, if you hype it up enough for me, I could maybe not like how it looks at first, but if there's a great story with it, I'm like, I'm in. I'm sold. There's more than one occasion that I've been really, really interested in a sneaker, mostly because of story, and maybe it's design elements. I'm a little, yeah, that's cool, but this is a great story. I need to have it.
Yep. And I think that's the beauty of sneakers and the beauty of design of sneakers. Like, this is where the art of design and color all kind of come together in the world of sneakers. Like, it allows us to really live out our lives and tell stories through the shoes that we wear on our feet. I think that's part of being a sneakerhead, is falling in love with the history and the story behind a shoe. Like the Union shoe, like, for instance, let's take the Union Jordan 1. Like, it's okay. Like, it looks cool, but it's not like a must-have sneaker. But then you hear like, oh, like, it's like stitching to these old colorways, and it's like this old distressed story, and like you putting it back together because you love the shoe so much. And so you stitched it together. Like, that story, like, sneakerheads relate to that. When there's a great story behind a sneaker, like, it almost kind of sells itself, you know, like, especially to the right sneakerhead audience that's into that, that wants to know the story. It tells you the flaws, you know, the good parts, the bad parts of a sneaker, or the good parts and the bad parts of a person, and the story or the adversity that they had to go through. When all of that kind of comes together in the right way, it's almost like magic for a sneakerhead, because you're instantly like, okay, I definitely gotta have those.
Quick break. We'll come right back to our conversation with Jacques Slade. In the meantime, as we announced at the top of the episode, we're so happy to now be partnered with our friends from Gatorade, and they've now taken over the studio that we record the podcast from. It is now the Gatorade Studio, and we encourage you guys to give them a follow if you're not following them yet. It's at Gatorade PH, and watch out for all the exciting stuff that we'll be doing with them, their athletes, and all the stuff that we're going to make sure that, you know, the podcast and Gatorade gets to you guys as well. Lots of super exciting stuff. Thanks again to them. Nothing beats Gatorade.
You fuel us, we fuel you. Gatorade studies the best athletes to create the most advanced sports fuel with fluids, electrolytes, and carbohydrates, so you can play your best. Nothing beats Gatorade.
This is what I always say to people who are, you know, starting to get into sneakers or are into sneakers, but, you know, maybe don't have, because you and I, we're incredibly blessed, right? We're incredibly blessed to have relationships and, you know, partnerships with these brands, and they support our content, and we support their stuff and things of that nature. So, you know, sometimes we have access, and sometimes we get pairs gifted to us and things like that. And that's not everybody's reality. So what I do try to tell people is, look, the shoes that have meant the most to me are shoes that I spent my hard-earned money on, and shoes that I don't even know what the resale value is on this pair of Tokis, Nike Toki mids that I have. They're just brown, and actually they're like an ugly shade of brown. But I have those in a special place in the house, because I'm like, I remember wanting these shoes, and I remember waiting two paychecks and waiting for it to go on discount before I got these shoes. And then I got them. And then they really mean so much to me. And you know, everyone's gonna just look past that. If my house got robbed, they'd probably leave that shoe. They'd probably say, "We'll leave this one for him." But that's what means a lot to me, and that's what's super valuable to me. It's that and the Jordan Spizike, which I don't really know a lot of people who are into Spizikes, but I'll take any colorway of the Spizikes that anyone is selling. I'm like, that's my shoe, because before I knew anything about heat or hype or anything like that, I saw Spizike at the mall and I was like, I want that. I'm gonna save money for it. And then I got it, and then I wore it till it broke off. So you know, if you're listening to this right now and you're into sneakers, it's not about having 100 pairs. It's not about, you know, having a dope colorway. I mean, you know, you have Jock Slade here who's walking around LA in some John Elliott LeBrons that people are sleeping on at clearance. And he could have any other pair that he wants to wear, but that's what he likes and that's what he ends up wearing.
Yeah, absolutely. I tell people that all the time. Like, don't wear what I like, wear what you like. And that's what's most important. Like, wear what you like. I have a beat up pair of like the Fear 4s that I've like worn into the ground. Like, they squeak, like the air bubble is loose and like they squeak.
That's gone.
But yeah, but I love them. I love them and I wear them. I have a pair of black cement 3s. Like, the tab on the back is literally broken off. Like, it's just the jump man, like the part that goes up above the top of the shoe. Like, that whole part is broken off. But like, I still wear them just because it's just like, it's a shoe that I really, really love. It's a shoe that I want to wear all the time. I have the ones from the All-Star ones from like New Orleans.
So the LA ones?
3 years. From All-Star. I think it was 3 years ago. It was in New Orleans, or 4 years ago. It was in New Orleans. Like, just beat to death. Like, creases, dirty. Like, I don't even clean them anymore. But I'll throw them on at the drop of a hat, just because like I love them. Like, they're comfortable. Like, they have memories for me. Like, they just feel really great to me. And so like, I don't let people like tell me what to wear. Like, Air Max 95, that's the first shoe that like stopped me in my tracks. Like, I remember, you've seen shoes before, you know, we all see shoes before, but I remember walking past a store in the mall and going like, oh my God, like, what is that? Like stop me. Like, what is that? And having to go inside and pick it up and hold it in my hand. So like, I mean, we all have our stories. Like, we just have to, just wear the shoe that means something to you. The rest of the stuff is great, but the stuff that means something to you, that's what's most important.
First of all, I agree with every single word that you said, except for those black cement 3s, because I told you this 2 years ago, that while I appreciate where you're coming from, that pair of black cement 3s that you're talking about, while I appreciate the soul of what you're saying, and while the black cement 3s do look better as they age, that particular pair is a health risk. That pair is a health risk for you, because that thing has more miles than any of your running shoes combined, and I have a feeling you're going to turn your ankle on them. You have another pair of 3s. Please wear something else. Put that in a box, in a glass box with some nice lights on it. Let that one rest for your own safety, please.
That's legit.
Outside
that's
of that, everything else I agree with.
Yeah, that's
outside
legit.
Outside of that one thing.
I respect that, because they have seen better days, and people are like, you should get them restored. And so that's where I am now. But like, I'm thinking about getting them restored, but I'm like, oh, then it's not going to be the same. Like, the cracks, because like the cracks in the midsole, the cracks in the back, like the way that like I don't untie them when I take them off. I literally like put them on and take them off without untying them. Like, they're in the perfect like sneaker state where you can take them off and take them on. Like, they're beat up, like you don't have to care too much, but they're still in my mind cool enough that I can pretty much wear them with whatever I want and still feel good about it. I don't feel like I have on like a really fancy pair of shoes or a really trashy pair of shoes. They're just like, they're just right. So maybe I'll stop wearing them, but that means I have to break in another pair. So I don't know.
The last time I was with you, I think it was in Portland, and then you were walking ahead of us, and one of our colleagues, I don't remember who, just tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Hey, Nico, does Jacques have 88 Jordan 3s on? Are those like OGs from like 1988? And I go, "They might as well be." I go, they might as well be. He doesn't listen to me, but he was like so impressed. He's like, "Yo, he's flexing us with his like." I was like, "OGs, like OGs." And I go, "I mean, if you age a shoe by number of steps it's taken, yeah, it might as well be from 88."
That is funny. Oh man, dang, I feel bad now.
He meant it as a compliment, though. You understand? He meant it as a compliment because, you know, I think the expectation when people look at, you know, you and people who work in our line of work, the expectation is for us to just be flexing all the time.
All the time. That's funny.
Whereas the reality is, if I could find myself like a good pair of Roshi runs right now, I'd be like, "Bet."
Like, "I'm good."
There's nothing more comfortable than a Roshi run or a Flyknit racer. Give them all to me.
I've been wearing like the Epic React, like the first one that came out. Like, I still wear that shoe. Like, it's the shoe that's by the front door. Like, for me to go run and go do something real quick, if I got to go to the mailbox or go to the grocery store. Like, the Flyknit React is the one that's there. Like, it's been there, like, I don't know, 2 years now, 3 years now. Like, I don't even, like, yeah. That's funny.
Hey, quick break. We'll come back to our conversation with Jacques Slade at Cousteau, talking sneakers and a whole bunch of other stuff in just a moment. But as usual, the People's Podcast supports the people who support the podcast. And every episode, we have a side hustle sponsor that gets prime billing onto the pod absolutely for free. All you have to do is let us know about your quarantine business, your side hustle. And today we're featuring at Fin de Semana Panaderia. Again, that's at Fin, F-I-N, de Semana Panaderia. They are a bakery, a home bakery. They specialize in muffins, alfajores, sansival, puff pastries. Neither I nor the amigo have tried this yet, but from what it looks like on Instagram, it looks good. So give them a follow and order some pastries from them today, if you would be so kind. Thank you very much. They are our side hustle sponsor of this episode. All right, here's more of Jacques Slade. All right, before I let you go, a couple of quick hitters as we're wrapping up the episode with things that are coming up, and I want to get your thoughts on them. And, you know, just see where you're at with some of these things. All right. Number one on the list. We don't know the story yet. I don't think I need the story yet because the visual and the aesthetic for me, I'm already knee deep in. But Aleli May has a new Jordan 1 CMFT coming out. The Jordan 1 Comforts, those don't necessarily make it to people's lists of must-haves. But Aleli May, I think she's going to put it on the map. What are your thoughts on the blue and green?
Yeah, so I think those look really, really nice. It's a cool colorway, too. Like, I think that colorway is not something we've seen. I'm trying to think if we've seen it on a Jordan shoe lately. I can't think of anything. I think that colorway really pops. And then, two, the Jordan Comfort, like, it's what we've been asking for, but people... It's weird because people were like, "Oh, I want a more comfortable Jordan 1. Like, let's make it more comfortable." Then Jordan will do that, but then people won't buy it and won't rock it. Like the Zoom Jordan 1s.
Yeah, they went to the Zoom 1s and they're like, "You know, I wish I could wear Jordan 1s all day. Here's a Zoom Jordan 1. Nah, don't want it.
Nah.
What?
Nah." Yeah, so I like it. I like what they're doing with the comfort. I have the Bayou Boys pair and they're like mad comfortable. So I hope this is the shoe that kind of gets people into it. But, you know, people want those OG colorways. And I shouldn't say that. I kind of want those OG colorways in these new shoes as well. But, like, don't be afraid to experiment. Like, if you're going to wear ones, if ones are going to be in your rotation, like, mix it up. It doesn't always have to be the same style.
Right. Yeah, it's the same thing that goes for the mids. There was a time no one would touch mids. And I think there are still some people out there who act like they're allergic to mids. And hey, if that's what you like and don't like, then, you know, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. But after the Fearless pack, after all the collabs, and, you know, Jordan did a great job inserting energy with the Jordan 1 mids. Now I feel like, you know, people are much more open-minded to that. All right, here's what's next on my list. And the Amigo, he's going to like this. It's a follow-up from the 10 episode from a couple episodes back. King Kong versus Godzilla.
Yes.
Look at that facial expression. Look at that reaction. All right, you have you have all the time in the world. Go for it.
I'm just excited.
What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm not going to like think about it too much because I don't want to walk in with any expectations. Like, I just want to watch it and enjoy the movie. Like, I saw the trailer and I almost like don't even want to see another trailer. Like, I just want to like,
I'm the same way.
What it is.
I'm the same way. Not, you've told like, me too much.
Yeah. Like, I've had enough. Thanks. Okay. You got me. I'm cool. I don't need to see anymore. So I think, I'm there. I'm there. Yeah. As soon as I think it's coming on HBO Max or something like that. Yeah. I'll be there.
I don't want to know how King Kong grew an extra 100 feet tall, but I'm not complaining. I'm like, hey, you know what? Bigger is better. Bigger is better.
Yeah. I don't want to know. All right.
Next on my list, as we're recording this, by the time this comes out, the Jordan Carmines will come out this weekend. And it's one of those super familiar colorways to people. When people say Jordan 6 Carmines, everybody knows exactly what you're talking about. What I love about the shoe is it's not tied to any one specific Jordan moment, not like the flu game, not like the last shot 14s. Or, you know, the free throw line, white cements, or anything like that. But when it came out, and if you do a quick Google search, there's a bunch of photos of MJ wearing it. He wore this pair a lot. Like, a lot. There's photos of him in, like, you know, Sixers games against Chuck. There's one where he's laying it up against Hakeem Olajuwon, and Hakeem's in goggles. And I'm like, Hakeem wore goggles?
Yeah.
And then all the way up until like media day for Team USA before he slapped the Olympic Sevens on, he was wearing the Carmines. So I was curious what your feelings are towards that shoe, because I feel like as this comes out, that's going to be what's going to be the conversation around the sneaker world is the Jordan 6 Carmines.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's a very iconic colorway. It's not something that I feel like I need to have. I think I have an old pair and I don't feel like I need another one because it's just not, I don't wear a lot of sixes just as part of like my personal style. It's just not a shoe that I personally wear. I definitely understand the heritage behind it and the relevance that it has to the Jordan line. And I think if people are into it, they should get it. But I didn't know that he wore it that much. I'm going to have to like do a Google search now. I mean, I know he wore it, but like to hear you talk, like he wore it so often, that's not something that was top of mind. So I'm going to have to look that up just so I have that kind of locked away inside of the brain. But yeah, I think it's a cool shoe. I think it's a great colorway. It works great with the six. Like it brings out like the design details from Tinker on the shoe, on the panels, and like really shows that. But it's not a must have for me, but I know there's tons of people that love this shoe and you see people rock it all the time. So I'm happy that it's coming back and people are going to be able to get another pair.
Yeah. I was just impressed by the fact that, you know, he wore it so many times because now you see signature athletes, they have one colorway, they wear it one game and then it's done. You probably never see it again. It's on to a next colorway, the next game. And there's just a lot to keep up with. So, you know, to look back and see, oh no, wait, this is how it used to be. Like MJ would have one colorway out and he'd be rocking with it for like months before he'd get another colorway. So that was pretty cool. All right.
You know, what would be a great idea is to have a signature athlete, like go back to that time where they only had a couple colorways a year. And instead of switching colorways of that same shoe, they just go through their signature line in that same colorway for like a certain amount of games. So like LeBron has 18 shoes, like for the next 18 games, he wears like a red and black colorway of every shoe of the every shoe all the way down to one. Instead of wearing 10, you know, 82 different colorways, he breaks it down and only wears, I don't know, four or five a season, but it's every shoe of his lineage in that colorway. I think that'd be kind of cool. That'd be kind of sick.
Stop giving the ideas away for free. We talked about this. Keep the ones where we might make money off of. Keep it in the chat, and then if our guys from the brands want to pick it up, then we can give them a little peek. But to give it just away for free here, you're costing us some business here.
Just cut it out. Just cut it out the podcast. We'll cut that part out the podcast.
Last thing, since you brought it up, I'll give you 15, 20 seconds, your thoughts on the vote back that Nike did with LeBron's signature shoes, jumping off of that idea you just had.
Okay, I'll keep it pretty simple. I was angry at first, then I was enraged, then I was pissed off, and then I settled back and I thought about it, and I was like, if this is what the kids want, this is what the kids should get. And I had to just let go of it and be like, I don't speak for everybody, and my own personal interests are not what should be done. It's what the greater public wants, and this is what they want. So I got to be good with it. And I just let it go. Like, you know, like they say, you let go and let God. I was like, I'll let God have it, and this is what he wants. So be it. I walk in faith that this is what it's supposed to be.
Let go and let God. Imagine you in church on Sunday, just with your hands up during worship, and be like, God, regarding the vote back, I'm sorry about all the cuss words I said with the vote back. Please forgive me. Give the kids what they want. All right.
Give the kids what they want. If it is your will, that is your way. Let it go.
This is how people come to God through sneakers with the LeBron vote back. I went through all stages of grief as well. And for the most part, I'm just hurt that they gave me like a peek into a chance, into an opportunity for the Stewies, and then just yanked it away that quickly. And I'm just like, oh, that's a gut punch. Uncle Jay, I took up way too much more of your time than I'd initially said I would.
I
appreciate you taking the time to do this. Is there anything else, sneakers, non-sneakers, or anything like that we should be excited for 2021 that you are putting out there outside of King Kong versus Godzilla? What is that? What are you recommending? What are you vouching for to our listeners keep an eye out for?
Gosh, what am I vouching for people to keep an eye out for?
Are there any tech things coming up?
I would say the things that people should be looking out for is what Titan is doing. They're doing some really cool stuff out in the Philippines. And if you don't know about them, you guys should definitely check them out. They're a really dope sneaker store. Check them out. They're doing some work. Their collabs are really dope. I don't know what they have coming up next. I haven't got the word yet, unfortunately. For some reason, they're not telling me the inside info, which I feel like I should be getting. But definitely check them out. They're doing some really cool stuff, and they do some really cool stuff for the customers. So check out Titan.
I appreciate you. And you're lying. You find out before I do. But thanks for doing this. And we can't wait for what you have cooking up on YouTube and all of your platforms. And as I always say, I'm a big fan of everything you do. But Still waiting for the album.
Yeah, the album's coming one of these days. I don't know when, but it is coming. But thank you for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
You said that 4 years ago. You.
Yeah, that's true. It's that, but it's still time. We still have time, Nico.
Still have time. All right. Thanks, Uncle Jay.
No problem, man. Talk to you soon. Yeah.
I want a million lives. I want a billion profits when all that I got is a villainous mind. I keep it real in the pocket while you hear the venomous lies. I do not speak like a prophet, cause I got a million styles. Let's see what's really inside. Pulling over in the whip, flying out another trip.